Good morning. So thankful you're with us today. How many of you got to get over and see Oxford High School's Beauty and the Beast? Wasn't that wonderful? We'll thank probably the people that were in the cast and crew next week because they're all busy. I think they're doing it again today. So if you haven't seen it yet and you have the opportunity, what a wonderful job. Not only is Heidi the lead, Heidi Allen, as we know Heidi, she sings in a worship team, but her brother played Chip for part of the programs. And then we had Jacob Jones, who's in the cast, and we have several people that were working on props and different things. You're going to tell me, because I know I'd leave people out. Yeah, there's a bunch of people. Katie Allen was in the pit. They have a live orchestra. So many of our students are involved there, and they did such an outstanding job. But we'll brag on them, hopefully, when most of them are back next week. But if you get a chance, go see that. We're in the middle of our series for Easter. We started early. We're going to end on Easter Sunday with a big presentation of how Easter changes everything. I'm kind of doing it backwards. We're talking about all the changes, and we're not talking yet all the way about how, but it's all about Easter. Easter changes everything, and so we're going to share that gospel more the reason for you to share that invitation with people to come with you on Easter Sunday. Let's pray ourselves in this morning so we're ready to go. Father, I pray this morning you'd bless that the people would be awake, taking notes and learning, growing. And if you'd pray this prayer, you don't have to say anything out loud, but if you'd just say, God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. Just give that prayer to God. God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. And God, we pray that you would be glorified, that everyone hearing this would be edified, and we pray that Satan would be horrified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we talked about my past is my past, and you are not defined by your past. Jesus writes a brand new script, a brand new life. You've been made new. So hopefully you picked up on that theme of my past is in my past. Today we're going to be talking about a new family. Everybody say family. Don't say it like that. Some of y'all like family. No, I mean, yeah, but family is family. It's special, but it is, you know, unique. And I often talk to people that struggle with their own families. Isn't it interesting sometimes that we're toughest on the people we're closest to? The people we see every day, that spend the most time with, that are so important to us. And yet sometimes we just lose our minds and we forget how important that is. So we're going to talk about today that not only have you been made new, but you've been placed in a brand new family. And that's good news. I thought I would take a little bit of time this morning. I don't usually do this. I've been here in a long time, and most of the people at Oakwood know that. Some of you are new, so I thought I'd just introduce my family. I don't get to do this a lot, but I have myself and my wife, Julie. She usually sits over here. I talk about her in every message. So I often do so in a way that you would be like, oh, that poor sweet woman. And so I love that. Julie's an important, very important part of my life. Caitlin's my eldest. And Emily is my middle child, and Josh is, he's Josh. He got his height somewhere in the depths of the family there. He's the tall one in our family. And then Emily, my middle child, got married. He's a Grand Rapids police officer. He has very white legs, but I don't digress. But most of you have heard our family is expanding a little bit here in April because Caitlin, my eldest, she's getting married to Curtis. We call him King Curtis. And I know as you look at the screen, you're probably thinking, oh my goodness, I see something different. Yes, he is an Ohio State fan. So we point that out. We're bringing diversity into the Jackson family with some Ohio State fans. But we've got Curtis. Caitlin married April 6th. I won't be here on April 7th. Don't judge me. I got dad duties on the other side of the state to be there at that wedding. And so Pastor Ted will be preaching for you that Sunday. And then something very interesting and new is that Emily and Jacob have been married for a couple of years. And they just informed us, I'm going to be a grandpa. I am a grandpa, actually. Yes. Yeah. You talk about hard. She told us 2 weeks ago, right when we got to Hilton Head for our vacation, she dropped this on us. She brought this coffee and she said, hey, I got a new coffee for you. and it's called A Baby is Brewing. It's going to be born October 24th, so I am a grandpa right now. There's my new grandbaby. I'm all excited about that. I'm just geeked out about that. I've been waiting and anticipating. Right when I'd heard that news and got back here, that very Sunday is when Jeff Basinger got up and left during the service, and on his way out, he said, I'm becoming a grandpa. She's having a baby right now. And I so wanted to say, I'm a grandpa too. But I didn't. I've been holding my tongue. So here's the deal. Help us out. Hopefully something didn't already happen online. But don't post anything yet. She's not 12 weeks. It's very close to that. And she's trying to let all of her, all the family knows now. But don't share anything. Like don't get on the church thing and say, congratulations, Pastor Donna. Don't do that yet. Well, after Easter sometime we can do that. But it just stays in-house. I thought I'd just share some good news that I'm pretty excited about. So family. Wow, family expanding. A new family. What does that mean for me? I have a physical family. I was born into a family. What is this new family? Well, the big idea for today is being part of God's family helps me experience all that God has for me. You are so blessed, whether you know it or not, you're blessed to be part of a family. And I know there's a lot of confusion today, or just a lot of maybe not full understanding. People say, oh yeah, I'm in a family of God. It's a great big family, right? But you're also, that's true, you're part of God's global family. You're a child of God, but you also get to be part of a small local community of believers. And that's a blessing. We want you to know that you belong here. Yes, you belong to the greater family of God, but you also belong here into the great family is what we call it at Oakwood. And we want you to immerse into this body. We talk about membership. What's the big deal? So many people ask me, why do I need to become a member? We don't treat people that are non-members any differently, and that's true. We want to make sure that we don't do that. There's not a hierarchy at Oakwood, but boy, if you're coming to Oakwood, be all in. You're in God's family. Just jump and dive in and be all in to God's local family right here at Oakwood, the great family. And then you can begin to experience all the great things that God has for me. Some people say, I don't need the church. I can worship God on my own. I worship God in creation. Well, that's true. But you will be missing out on some wonderful blessings if you're not part of a body. If you just worship God on your own in private, you can't serve the Lord there. You can't worship the Lord corporately there. You can't give to the ministry there. There's so many things that you would be missing. And then the Bible is full of all these together verses, one another verses. And you can't complete any of the one another's on your own. You got to be with a local body. And so we believe that the body of Christ is large, global, but it also is local. It's right here. And so in the book of John, chapter 1, 9 through 13, let me read this. John, chapter 1, 9 through 13. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. You got a brother from another mother, is what I'm talking about this morning. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, not of human birth. But in God's family, we're all called the children of God. How does that happen? You put your faith in Christ. You believe. Everybody say believe. You believe, and God counts that as righteousness. Your faith is counted as righteousness, and you receive the righteousness of Christ, and you are given the Holy Spirit who lives within you and a new family to experience the fullness of all God has for you. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing that God has done for us. So just a few couple things this morning I wanted to share with you about this new family. Number one, everyone is welcome in God's family. Amen? Everybody say welcome. Everyone is welcome in God's family. Do we believe that's true? Do we think that most are welcome and some are concerning? Do we think that, well, I'm welcome because I'm good enough, but others I'm suspicious of? Do we really believe that everyone is welcome? I do believe. I believe that everyone is welcome in God's family. For anyone who would come and put their faith in Jesus, they belong. Everybody say belong. Belong. Belonging is important. We want you to belong here at Oakwood. Most importantly, that you belong in God's family as a child of God. There's a great passage we look at. We talk about ecclesiology. It's found in Acts. Acts 2, 42 through 47. I want to read this. This is the beginning of the church. Jesus has died and been resurrected and gone into heaven. And some incredible things are taking place early on in the church. Acts 2, 42 through 47. It says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Everyone is welcome in God's family. I think we get caught up on how people look or how people might act or things that they might be still struggling with, as if they've got to clean up their act before they can belong in the family of God. I'll challenge that. We have a long line, not only here at Oakwood, but historically and biblically, there's a long line of people who were not perfect who were included in God's family. Jacob was a liar. David was an adulterer. Rahab was a prostitute. Welcome to the family. We've got a messy family. If you're here today saying, I met Chris, regret. You have an opportunity. Today is the opportunity. On Friday, Julie and I had to go to Battle Creek to do a funeral for my friend Bobby Thompson. Roberta Thompson, we called her Bobby. And Bobby was a special lady. She loved Pastor Spencer at Calvary. She loved me and Julie. She had an in-ground swimming pool, and so Bobby loved to invite people with children over, and so all my kids were raised in that pool swimming. And of course, I got to go too, which was great. While we were there visiting Bobby a couple months ago, we saw her before she went into hospice, before she died, and I was relayed the story that there was somebody that said, "Man, I was the biggest splash in your pool, Bobby. My cannonball was the biggest." And she said, "No, PD was the biggest splash in my pool." So I hold that honor. I'm distinctly honored to be known as that. Bobby also, she had a great friend named Mary Jean Betts. Mary Jean Betts was, if anybody in their life could have a friend like Mary Jean Betts. Mary Jean Betts came alongside Bobby. She was a Christian lady, Mary Jean Betts, went to Calvary. Bobby was not a Christian. She did not put her faith in Christ. And she wasn't against it. She wasn't angry about it. Like I said, she loved Pastor Spencer. She loved me and Julie. She served at Calvary. She came and helped Mary Jean. Mary Jean started Operation Christmas Child at Calvary. Over 200,000 shoeboxes went from that church into semis and now overseas to children. An incredible operation. And Bobby was a big part of that. She counted every box that went into those cartons, then into the semi. She was in charge of that. And she would serve. She served at the church, but she never received Christ. When we were informed that Bobby was on her last days and we needed to come see her, I also was informed that in January, Bobby trusted Christ for her forgiveness of sins, and she received Christ as her Savior. It's never too late. But oh, don't wait. Don't wait. Put your faith in Christ. Mary Jean was with Bobby and led her to that prayer, and Bobby had peace. From that moment on, she had peace. She went into hospice knowing she was going to die, but she had peace. It was a joy to do her funeral on Friday. It was a joy. I told the people there, if the requirement for getting into heaven was being good, listen to me carefully, if the requirement for getting into heaven was being good, I would have nominated Bobby Thompson. She was a good lady. But be very clear with me today. The requirement for getting into heaven is not being good enough. Let me say it again. The requirement for getting into heaven is not about being good enough. None of us can live up to that standard. What would good enough look like? Perfection. Absolute 100% holiness. That's why God sent Jesus. We can't achieve that on our own. Jesus died on the cross for your sins and my sin, the righteous one for the unrighteous, to bring us to God, the Bible says. Not only did he die on the cross for your sin and my sin, taking the payment for sin that we deserve, he rose again 3 days later, conquering death and sin once and for all. And then after 400 people saw him in the resurrected state, then he ascended into heaven where he sits at the right hand of the throne of God, waiting to come back and get his bride, his family. Are you in the family of God? Everyone is welcome. I pray that you've made that decision. I also read this story this week about a young boy in children's ministry. I got to go down to children's ministry last night. It's a hoot. I love what they're doing now. It's fun. We had a good time down there. I love to see kids laughing. I love it when kids are having a good time at church. I want them to have a good experience at church. Well, they had a church that they worked on. Laura, you might want to try this. Some teaching all the kids the Lord's Prayer. And they were memorizing it, and they were going to perform it. They were each going to stand on stage and take a portion of the Lord's Prayer. And so they worked, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And there was this one boy who just wasn't getting it. He was struggling, but they wanted to include him. So the big day came and the church, they said, "Well, give him the first line. That's one people know. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." So they gave him the mic and boy, he nailed it. He grabbed that mic and he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, I know that you know my name." He might have got the words wrong, but he got the sentiment right. You got to applaud that. Our Father who art in heaven, I know that you know my name. Are you in the family of God? Are you in today? The Bible makes it very clear that little word in, I-N, it's a small word, but the big concept. The Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone, the new is here. Are you in Christ? Everyone is welcome. There's no excuse. You'd have nothing holding you back from this. The only thing it requires is your faith. Have you put your faith in Jesus? The second thing I see today is that godly community is attractive. Godly community is attractive. I don't know why Bobby held out all those years. She liked us. She liked the people. She liked the church. She liked being around those people. I'm like, come on, Bobby. I don't know why she was such a holdout. But I'm thankful that we weren't a distraction to that process. I'm thankful that she did like Pastor Spencer and myself and Julie and my kids and the church family. I'm glad that we were an attractive community, that we didn't drive her away. And oh, church, my heart as a pastor is we'd be careful with this one, that we understand that there's power when people come in and see us and we claim to be a great family. That's very powerful, but it can also be very hurtful if we're not. Are we living up to the standard that godly community is attractive? The last verse of that passage I just read to you in Acts 2, the last verse, 47, it says this, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." People were coming to know the Lord daily because there was an attractive community that people were seeing something different. They were seeing something that they wanted, but they didn't have. And so they wanted what they had. Are we being an attractive community to the lost that they would say, I need that. What they have there, I need, I want in my life. I want to be a part of a family where I belong. There's two things I think about being an attractive community, and it's in this passage in Acts. The family of God does life together. In Acts 2, it says that they were coming together all the time. They were breaking bread. They were eating in each other's homes. There was fellowship. There was connectivity. Some of you might be wondering, why are we making such a big deal about connectivity? We've got a whole new team devoted to connectivity within the church. It is a big deal. We look at Acts chapter 2 as a model of the beginning of the church, and boy, these people were connected. I mean, it's a shame. I don't think they had to have a connective team, a connectivity team. They just got the fact that we're in this together. We need one another. I have an earthly family, but I need my church family, my new family. They do life together. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. 1 John 1:3. "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." There's a word in there, fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. There's a Greek word for that term. The Greek word is koinonia. Koinonia. K-O-I. And then some other letters and words and stuff. Koinonia. Everybody say koinonia. 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 Fellowship, connectivity. Well, the seniors group at Calvary, where I was at for 25 years, they were called the Koinonia class. The Koinonia class. Doing life together. I love that concept. So the attractive community does life together. I thought it was great being at the play in our town last night. We had the whole first row. And then part of the second row and part of the third row and a bunch in the 10th row. We had a lot of people from Oakwood there. Why? Because we're a family, and we were there to celebrate not only what the people that we know in our family were doing there, but it was fun to be together. Some people went to Culver's and had probably Butterburgers and the custard before the show because they were together. You'll know that if you're connected or not. Here, I'm going to tell you, this is very important. You'll know if you're connected or not if you break bread with people. When I mean break bread, it can be barbecue. Well, you eat with people. I have a Baptist background, and so us Baptists, we get eaten. We eat at everything, and so it's you gather around food. Why? Food is fellowship. Food is family. I mean, there's something about that. Are you breaking bread? I love that our connectivity team has offered this dinners where you just sign up as a single or a couple and you just sign up and say, I'm going to go to dinner. And then they're going to come out and let you know which people you're paired up with. And then you decide, where are we meeting? Are we going to go to Red Knapp's or are we going to go to the Ox? Where are we meeting? And then you pay for your own food there, but you have fellowship. I'm looking forward to this. Yes, it's programmed, but we need that boost because we've lost Acts 2. We've kind of lost that. And so now we got to manufacture it a little bit and say, come on, people, get together. Get to know people. Something changes when you know people and you're doing life together. That's what the family of God does. That's what they were doing in Acts chapter 2. They were doing it together. Secondly, the family of God meets each other's needs. You saw that. The incredible, they were selling things in order to give to the common good of the people. They cared about one another. They met needs. When somebody was hurting, they made sure they took care of those needs. And that was happening at the beginning of the church, probably why 3,000 people were added in one single day to the early church, because they were an attractive community. And today we've kind of lost a little bit of that. We need to get back to that, that we're part of a family. We're growing a great family. Are you connected? Are you plugged in? If you don't know how to, then join us when we offer you opportunities like these dinners groups. And just put yourself out there and just taste and see. Taste and see, literally. If you do that and you get with people and you spend some time with people, you get to know those people, something changes. You come in to church and instead of coming here 5 minutes before the service starts and getting out of here 5 minutes after it's done, you can't do that once you get connected, because then you see so-and-so and you're like, oh, hey, and then you're talking over coffee in the lobby and we can't get you to stop. We got to drag you in here because it's time to start, because that's what happens when you know people and you're connected to one another. You can't go to Meijer. Lord knows my wife and I, we're going to go to Meijer. We're like, do we have time? We got a short list, but we're going to see people. And it's not me, it's her. She'll talk to anybody. And now she works in the public school. I mean, so she knows all sorts of people. She'll see a student 5 hours away and she goes, oh, there's a applesauce and he eats. And she'll tell me exactly what that student eats. I mean, she does that with everybody. Last night at the play, she's like, oh, that person goes through and gets a sandwich every day. Oh, that kid, he wants two sodas and a cookie. And she just knows. And so she just wants to talk to people. I can't take her anywhere. But especially if we see the family at Oakwood. Oh, we're going to have to stop and talk. Just park the carriage, right? And just park the carriage. Here we go. Let's talk. Because family, connectivity. The attractive community does life together, and the attractive community meets each other's needs. I don't know if this is happening for you. It should be. Are you connected so that we know? Maybe there's needs. We just don't know because we don't know you. Do you know that we have both a benevolent fund here and Oakwood Cares? We have two funds to help people. Our benevolence fund is to help people in the Oakwood family. If there's a need and you come and let us know, we've got two of our deacons who are assigned to meet with you and figure out how can we help you with this need. It happens almost every week. You might not know it. We don't like tooting our horn all the time, but you do need to know we are meeting people's needs here at Oakwood. We're helping people that are in trouble financially. We're helping people that need somebody to come and sit at the house and be with them. We're helping people within Oakwood. Our Oakwood Cares Fund, that is designed to help people outside of our church body, because we not only care about those who are in the family, we also care about the people that are pre-family. I'm going to call them pre-family today, if that's okay with you. Because our prayer is that they'd come and be part of the family. This is such a hard thing to teach, because it's so easy to leave today and just say, well, I don't feel that way. I don't feel that connected. I've had people that have come and tell me, Pastor, we're leaving. We're going to leave. We just never felt connected. Again, I don't want to be too hard on you, but you've got to do something as well. We can only do so much, then you've got to do something as well. My mama always said, back when I was a teenager with zits on my face and all sorts of problems, she would always tell me, if you want a girlfriend, then, you know, you attract more flies with honey than you do with vinegar, right? If you want connectivity, I want to tell you this as your pastor, you can find it. Be patient, but get out there. How do I know that? Because I know that's true because people have come here. Lost people have come to Oakwood and then gotten saved at Oakwood, then found fellowship at Oakwood, and now they're deeply invested at Oakwood. It can happen. But those people did put themselves out and they did come and serve and they did come and try. They took part in the thing. So it's a two-way street. If we're failing you, then it's my fault. I am the pastor here. I'll take responsibility. If we are failing, it's my fault. But we're trying. We want you to be connected. We want you to feel part of the family. And we have a job to do, the attractive community. Why? Because I must make space at the table. We're not satisfied, are we? We're not just satisfied to come to Oakwood and do church on Sundays. So I hope you're not satisfied. I'm not satisfied. I want to, two things in life. I want to go to heaven and I want to take as many people as I can with me. I don't know about you, but that's the simple goal I have. I want to go to heaven and I want to make sure I take as many people with me as possible. And so we need to make space. Why do we have two services? We could fit in one. It'd be cramped. I mean, this is a good number of people. And then the second service is usually more full than this. We probably would be crowded in one service. We could make it work. Why are we having two services? To make sure we have room to grow. I don't want you to, they say if you're 80% full, you will stop growing. It's just some kind of a thing, a fact that's known that 80% full room, you won't continue to grow. And so we're in two services. There's room to grow. Everybody point at an empty seat near you right now. We got room to grow. Is that sad? No, I'm not sad. Let's keep doing that. We might need to go to three services. I don't know, but I want people to come and hear about Jesus and to know God and to grow in a relationship with him. So let's make space at the table. The Bible tells us about this. Acts 15, 6 through 11. Acts 15, 6 through 11. The apostles and elders met to consider this question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. So here's what he's going to address them. It's about what they were talking about earlier. Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? No! We believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved just as they are. There's room at the table, friends. There's room at the table. We need to make sure that we welcome people. God's doing something great at Oakwood. I don't know if you know it or not. There's been so many people that have been new coming to Oakwood. Some from different faith backgrounds, and they've never heard the gospel that we preach out of the Bible. And they're hearing it and saying, whoa, I want to hear more about this. Some of them are going to be baptized next Sunday. They put their faith in Jesus, and they want the world to know I'm with Jesus. And they're excited. I'm excited for next Sunday to baptize some people like Johnny. Yeah. Oh, to hear what the Lord did in his life. And for him to want to go through the waters of baptism as a testimony to let the world know I'm with Jesus. And to do it here in this family at Oakwood. What a blessing. We got to be careful that we don't suspect people we don't know well. You know, they're new. We don't know about those. I heard that they came from a different church. Let's make room at the table. If they're coming to Oakwood, they're going to hear God's word because that's what we preach. We don't preach man's standards. We look at God's word and we tell the truth of what God did through Jesus. And if they accept that by faith, they're in. You're like, what's the background test, PD? Are you sure you're making sure? They're in. Everyone who comes for baptism comes to my office and we sit down and talk what it requires to go through that. And I make sure, I ask them right in their face, do you believe that Jesus is the only way for salvation? And have you asked him to forgive you of your sins? And if they say yes, I don't go to questioning them. I don't want to try to trip them up and do some kind of interrogation, put the bright light behind me and put them in the room and make them sweat it out. No, you're in. If you come by faith, welcome to God's family. And we need to welcome people and make room at the table. Gabe, come help me, would you? I asked Gabe if he'd do this. I didn't put him here on the spot. I just want to talk about the church real quick. We got a little bit of time. So I'm going to give Mark this. Hold on to that, Mark. Don't let it go. Hold on to it. All right? Oh, this is going to be a little difficult. You got a hard job today, Gabe. So now I'm going to come over here. I hope I don't mess this up. I want to get in the middle. So let me get back to the middle. I better get up on here a little bit. Now, Gabe, why don't you take this and just start giving it to people. But then bring it back. Just give somebody an end of that. Yep, go ahead and take it out there. Give it to somebody. I don't care who, just anybody right here toward the front right there. Give her that. All right, perfect. Now bring it back to me, Gabe. Bring it back to me. Make sure she has a rope. There you go. And then bring it back to me. Yep, there you go. Look, we got something happening here this morning. Yeah. Not so. Probably should have gave you a long pencil or something, right? It would have been a little easier. All right. I just want the rope. And then you're going to take that over there to somebody over sitting over there. Yep. Go over there someplace else. Yep. Give it to somebody. Mary Boomer's right there. Give it to Mary. Yeah. She was the teacher of the year last year. She's somebody. Give her that. There we go. You want to see if that works? That might be too short. I don't know. Bring that back to me. Get that back to me. Yeah. All right. Perfect. Hold on to that. Yeah. All right, good, good. Yeah, don't get it tangled or we're all in trouble. All right, you're doing such a wonderful job. Well, yeah, just leave that. That ain't going to work. That's not long enough. It was a good try. Take that over there. Give it to the front row right there. Yep, perfect. Yep. You're doing a great job. Oh, I want to talk a little bit about connectivity. Hand it to him right there. Just stay right there. Oh, no, I better bring it back to me. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, he's doing a great job. I wanted to do just a little illustration this morning about the family of God. And there's some terrible misconceptions that I want to put straight today. The family of God is a beautiful thing. The connectivity that we have, and this little twine is going to represent our connectivity. Thank you. I'll take that. Perfect. Don't go too far because you're only half done. Go sit. He sighed. Connectivity is important. But I wanted to just reestablish in your minds maybe a physical thing to show you something. The church is not Pastor Don. I work hard. I try very hard at what I do, but you only get what you get, and you got me. And this church, Oakwood, this is not the illustration of connectivity. Our connectivity isn't marked to me and me to you and then me to you. And then, you know, this is not a great illustration of church, because if the church was all about the pastor and then we come and sadly people come and go based on the pastor and he's either good or he's not. And boy, that was a good one today, or he should have worked harder. I don't know what's going on. And everything's based on the pastor, and we look at the pastor for everything, and we judge our, you know, I thought I was a good friend with pastor, but he didn't call me. He didn't let me know that today was National Coffee Day. I don't know. And people get all upset and they think that the church is the people to their pastor. I get it. You are all sitting there facing me right now. And so it's very easy to get the wrong conception that this is what church is, the pastor. I got news for you. This is not the connectivity God talks about in the church, because pastors come and go. And if I were to drop it all, the whole thing falls. All right, come back up here. Let's get this back. Let me have it. You guys let go of your ropes there now. Quit hogging them. We're gonna rewind. This is gonna be difficult. Take over rewinding for me here, there, Gabe. Rewind. There you go. Here's what we're gonna do. Once we get this taken care of, I want to show you a new illustration of what church is. Okay. What we're gonna do is we're gonna go way over here to this side. I'll give Doug the end of this rope. Yep. Good. And then, Lisa, why don't you go ahead and take a part? Why don't you? Are you still holding on to the old rope? Let go of the old. That's the wrong thing, Mark. Get rid of that. That was the wrong way. Grab a hold of this. There we go. And why don't you take this? And then why don't you just all the way? And then he's going to help because he's going to start spreading this around. And I'm stepping all over it. Look at the mess we're making now. Oh, that's a good illustration. Keep going. Just keep handing it out. And then we better start somewhere in the back here. Matthew, can I give this to you, Matthew? And just pass it around. We're just going to pass this all up and down. You can go down the row if you want and just take the rope and keep passing the bundle and just do that. Keep going up there. Just keep connecting. I need you to spend this. Get these people. Don't leave them. Lowell Boyle looks like he is alone and he's nervous that he's not going to be accepted. Get that rope over to him. Doug, you got a bunch. Why don't you take it and start handing some out over there? Yeah. Why did no holding on to the, yeah. You know what? We need to have this continue to happen just for a little bit. Just keep letting the rope go. If it all gets tangled and mangled and messed up, that's okay. That'll be a good illustration because the church is messy, amen? And some of you are like, the rope didn't come to me. I got left out again. I know. Yeah. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard work. Things get tangled up. People get lost in the shuffle. If you're holding the rope, would you stand up and hold the rope? Just stand up. If you're holding the rope, stand up. Let's put it about neck high. Put it out there, about neck high. Lowell, they gave you. You got in. Ah. Keep on passing it, Jim. Scott, look for the rope. There you go. Once you get the rope, stand up, would you? All right. All right. They're working on it. It's going. All right. Who doesn't have the rope? Stand up if you don't have the rope and find some. There's some right around you. Reach to your back, to your left, to your right. You might need to move a little bit. You might need to give some space. You got to find the rope. Connected. We need more rope going over here too, don't we? We got some people over here that don't have the rope. Look at them. They're gathering. All right. Let me wrap it up this morning, if I can have your attention. They're keeping the rope going. Hold that rope up here, about neck high. Hold it up. Good. Hey, friends, eyeballs here just for a second. The church is a beautiful thing. It's a place of connectivity. You know, God calls people to a church, but then he might call them away, and they might need to let go of this rope to go to Florida and find a church there. And I hope that when they get to that church, they pick up the rope there. But the beautiful illustration that we have here today is, Scott, let go of the rope. Steve, let go of the rope. Mark, let go of the rope. All right, grab it again. I don't want you to feel left out. Did you notice anything? Yeah, it didn't fall. If PD leaves, because we're all interim pastors. Pastor Bob was a pastor here for 40 years. And I'm sure many people think that when Pastor Bob left, it didn't fall because he created a great family. Pastor Bob created a legacy of people who love Jesus and a connectivity. I got to come and pick up the rope. I love that. I get to be a part of it right now. This is where God has called me to be. But I don't have any pretension to think that this rope is being held up because I'm here. No. I mean, it would be awful if Pastor Don leaves a church and the whole thing falls. That's a failure on PD's part because that meant that I made it my church and all the ropes had to come to me. No one is that important. Where's my elders at? Elders that are in the room, Doug, Roger, let go of the rope, Jeff, Roger. The rope stays up. The rope is okay because we're connected to one another. And what is the bond? The bond is our faith in Jesus Christ. It's not in a pastor or an elder. Grab the rope, elders. Don't be left out. Grab back on. Our bond is Jesus Christ. It's eternal. And we have that in common. And this is what we want the world to see. We want Oxford and Ortonville and Lapeer and Lake Orion. We want the people there to see that at Oakwood, you can connect to part of the family. And that connection is through Jesus Christ, not a man, not a program. We try things, treehouse is offered, but it's not the programs that bind us together. It's one another. In this room, you're connected. Do you know other people around this room? Are there people you probably need to get to know? I know God has brought many, many new people to Oakwood. It would do you a great service and them a great service if you just go up to them and say, welcome to the family. Sure glad you're here today. Try to get to know a name. This is a beautiful thing, isn't it? I wanted you to see and feel this today because I want you to understand what our job is and our goal is as a church. It's God's family. And you're connected to Jesus Christ. And if you do have to leave this family, go make sure you find it again in another great family. Let's pray. Don't drop the rope. Father, I pray as the band comes to close us out in worship today, God, I pray that you would bless this family at Oakwood. Oh, we're not perfect. I pray that you would bless our connectivity. I pray that you would help us to make room and space at the table for more to come. And God, I pray that today these people would remember this simple illustration about connectivity and that they are welcome here and that they would join together. Thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep the rope and have a seat, right? I know you might have to sit somewhere different. I didn't give you the last slide and I got to do that because people get all upset. I'm going to do it real quick. Can I get to the last slide there, Wendy? You're going to give it to me? In conclusion today, as you're holding the rope, I want to let you know, get it on the screen when you can, Wendy. My good actions become invitations to the fellowship, community, and family I experience through my faith in Jesus. My good actions become invitations to the fellowship, community, and family I experience through my faith in Jesus. Matthew 5:16 in closing says this. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Are we being the attractive community? Are we letting the world know that there's room at the table here at Oakwood and come and grab on? We want you to be a part. I pray we are. Let's close in prayer. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus you'd bless today. Bless the people at Oakwood. God, that you brought people here for a time, may we be faithful. May everyone who comes belong at the table. God, we're thankful that we don't have standards here to a sense that they've got to earn it. No, no. No, no. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus that bonds us together. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. And by faith, we receive that forgiveness of sins. And you called us your children. God, I pray that this would be a new family for all who believe in Jesus' name.